Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerina, and I'm so excited for this podcast today. I've really been looking forward to this one for quite some time. We are going to have our long-form interview today with the one and only Reem Daly.
Are you?
Yes. Yes, we are. Very excited to catch up with Reem and hear about her whole experience. If you missed it last week, we had a ton of our post-game interviews. We posted interviews in the last 7 days or so with Victoria, with Ron Clark, with Aubrey, with David Wright. And so if you missed any of those in our series, we also talked to Chris Underwood and Rick Devins the week before that. Those are all up on robhasawebsite.com. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes to make sure you are subscribed. I want to go ahead and take care of some business here at the top of the podcast so we don't have to stop with Reem. So I'd like to thank our sponsors, and I want to start off by talking about Quip. Of course, Quip has reinvented the electric toothbrush. If you're looking for something to give to your dad or to celebrate a new grad, get them a one-size-fits-all, like new oral health routine with Quip. The guiding features make sticking to good habits simple, and signing them up for a subscription helps them save and refresh their brush on time. With a Quip electric toothbrush, you can show your thanks where it really counts. Of course, I love my Quip. It's got sensitive sonic vibrations for an effective clean that's gentle on your sensitive gums, because sometimes people brush too hard and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive, much like the Edge of Extinction. With a built-in 2-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds, it's going to remind you when to switch sides and help you clean your whole mouth evenly. The Quip has brush heads that are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. What? A friendly reminder when it's time to refresh to stay committed to your oral health. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association, and they're backed by over 25,000 dental professionals, and they have thousands of verified 5-star reviews. I love my Quip. It looks so cool. It's futuristic. It feels different in your hand, and it's got that timer to make sure you remember to brush long enough. That's why I love the Quip and why over 1 million healthy, happy mouths do too. Quip starts at just $25. So if you go to getquip.com/Rob, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack at GetQuip. That's GetQuip.com/Rob. Got Reem coming up here in just a moment. Next week, be on the lookout, podcast listeners. I've got another postseason interview coming in a couple of days. Going to talk with Aurora McCreary coming up later this week as well on Rob Has a Podcast. Our other sponsor here today, before we get to Reem, and we will not stop once we get going with Reem, I want to thank our friends over at DC Universe, the first all DC platform for DC fans, where you can watch, read, shop, and even connect with other fans. Home of DC original series like Titans, Doom Patrol, Swamp Thing, and coming soon, Harley Quinn, featuring Kaley Cuoco. Thousands of new comics have just been added to the comic library, including more complete storylines and more recent titles. Batman 2011, Superman Secret Origin, Harley Quinn 2013, new animated films like Reign of the Superman and Justice League versus Fatal Five. Catch up on series, including Krypton Season 1, and find tons of classic movies. Batman, Batman Returns, Superman. DC Universe is available on your favorite devices. And you know what? Join today and get a year's worth of content at DCUniverse.com. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to talk to this person. I have been waiting for months and months to get the opportunity to do a deep dive with the woman who started it all on the Edge of Extinction. I'm very excited to welcome to the podcast Queen Reem Daly. Reem, how are you?
Wow, what an awesome introduction. Thank you so much. I've been excited to talk to you. And I'm great. Thanks for asking.
Happy to hear that and really excited that you were up for doing this. We got all of the sign-offs and really excited to talk about your journey to the edge and back.
Yeah, let's do it.
Reem, what has this been like these couple of weeks since the finale?
You know, people are really, really nice. I've gotten a lot of positivity for feedback on the season. I mean, there's some awesome haters out there. I kind of think they're funny because I respect a good, if you really put some thought into it and you're going to like bring someone down, as long as you put a lot of good thought into it and there's some funny things in there, it's fine. Bring it on. But the feedback has been amazing. I can't believe it happened. It all seems like a dream or a nightmare in parts, but it's been great. Thank you. I'm just glad to talk to you. Thanks.
And Reem is available on cameo.com. has the business been brisk on the Cameo?
You know, man, I'm shocked that anybody even wants a Cameo. Some of my family members don't want a Cameo. So it's just, it's really surprising and fun, and I appreciate it. Thank you for wanting to listen to me. Thank you for caring to reach out. I truly appreciate it. It's overwhelmingly amazing. So yeah, I've gotten like almost 10 requests, I think. That's amazing.
Yeah. And do people just want you to drag their friends and relatives? Like, Reem, could you tell my boyfriend, screw you?
No, not yet, but I'm all in for that. I love giving people a mouthful. No, mainly it's been like birthdays or like there are people who are getting married. If you want to give any marital advice, which I'm sure my husband thinks it's funny, but just, you know, in basically birthdays mainly, and or just to say, hey, which is so nice. Like truly, it's like a dream. I can't believe it.
Okay. Reem, let's go back to the beginning of your Survivor journey, and what made you decide to apply for Survivor? I know you're a big fan of the show.
Yeah, so I've been talking a big game with my husband for years, and you always say you're going to do it, but you know you got to pull out a piece of equipment, you got to videotape it. Well, now that there's iPhones, because this has been going on for what, 20 years. Mm-hmm. So now that there's iPhones, your buddy can just hit record. And basically it finally came to a Mother's Day weekend where I was driving home from the beach with one of my best friends. And I was like, you know what? I keep talking about this, but let's actually do it. Hit record. So now I'm just driving. And I don't know, man, my emotions went from like A to Z plus. I couldn't believe it. Like I just started talking about it and I'm laughing and then I'm kind of like raging and then I'm kind of like crying. Like it was all over the place. And I was like, damn, that was weird. Okay, hit submit. So, and then we submitted it to the wrong place, shocker, and redid it. And the first place, of course, wanted like money and it was like a talent agency. And I'm like, no, thanks. And Survivor did call and I couldn't believe it. Like I'm surprised the neighbors didn't think somebody was getting murdered over here because I was screaming so loud. It was amazing.
And this was the first season that you had applied for and you got right through.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild. And so you go out to the edge of extinction and you had such a great pregame. The season. And you had such a great pregame press and you really had a bunch of great stories. A lot of the listeners want to know, can you tell us the story about how you got kicked out of a gym?
Yeah, dude, like no offense, but they would have gotten kicked out of this gym too. Completely legitimate on my part. Okay. Okay, I just want to throw that out there because people are like, who gets kicked out of a gym? This wasn't your average gym. It was like one of those things at the beginning of the year where it says guaranteed, like if you put up a certain amount of money and if you reach your goal, you get your money back, right? So really it's about accountability. So you'd have to like check in and do all this crap. So I was doing it. But after 2 weeks of like hardly freaking eating and I'm not a big one to take, like, I'm not a pill popper, so I wasn't doing all the supplements or whatever. And I just didn't feel like I weigh myself. And they were like, no, not right now, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I read the paperwork, dude. Like, I'm supposed to weigh myself once a week. So I went in there and I weighed myself. And it was like one of those scales where you stood on and you had to like hold it with your hands, like for fat count or whatever. And I did not see much movement in that number. And I was pissed. So I like threw down the handles or whatever. I didn't break anything. I didn't like go ham. I just was just pissed because I was like, are you serious? Like legit 2 weeks. Hardly ate, freaking just annoyed. I had done the workout part, but didn't do the supplements. And anyway, I went back to my car and I was like, all right, just go back in there. So I went back in there, did the freaking workout. And the dude was like, hey, I'll reach out to you later today. And I'm like, whatever. Well, end of challenge was the title of that email. Basically like, I don't think this is going to work.
Okay.
Whatever, dude. I don't care. Because guess what? From then on, I chose to not be injured and be healthy should I make it on the show. And it worked out just fine.
Oh, that sounds like that you broke up with the gym, not the gym broke up with you.
No, dude. I was ready to keep going to this stupid gym. He sent me an email titled End of Challenge.
Oh.
Please don't come back.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and what did you respond to that email?
I don't even know. I should search my inbox though and see. I was just like, whatever. Seriously. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to that? Thanks for your support.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Reem, I think one of the things that people have really connected with about you is that I think that so many of us wish that we could have the same attitude that you have where at different places that we go to that we could just like we internalize it and we want to be saying, you know what? Screw you, dude.
Totally.
Yeah.
Let me know if you're having a situation and I will square it away from you. But there you go. I will do that for you moving forward. Let me know.
I appreciate that. I'll put you in direct contact with my wife, Reem.
Except your marriage.
She'll give you a run for your money. Because my wife also has that superpower that she's also able to do that in all sorts of situations.
That's all.
She's not shy. Okay. Reem, so you're off to Survivor. And anything you want to talk about your preparation in terms of how you got set to play the game?
Yeah, I didn't want to get hurt and I wanted to be fed properly. So it wasn't like America's Next Top Model. Listen, I am married. I'm happily married. My husband and I are like, just don't be a jerk and we're good. Like everybody's going to gain a couple pounds here and there, although he hasn't. and he's just not that guy to really care what, you know, if I'm 10 heavy or 10 less, it doesn't matter. It's more about, are you cool? Like just don't be lame type of thing. And we're good. So I wasn't trying to look like a supermodel to show up, obviously. And I don't know. You can sit there and act like, oh, I'm going to read 800 self-help books and I'm going to know how to make a fire. Yeah, sure. Everybody does that sort of. But the minute it starts, man, all your prep down the toilet, like you forget all of it. Cause now it's just like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm on Survivor. And then you just are who you are. At least I was. You know, all the crap I talked in pre-interview is now embarrassing to listen to because obviously that's, you know, not how things always go down.
You mentioned your husband a couple times. Aubrey talked about him as well. Can you tell us a little bit about your family life? Because I know you have kids, but I don't really know how many and the ages. So just tell us about your family.
So I married my buddy from high school. And I say my buddy because we weren't like sweethearts by any means. We were just friends, like really good friends. And so I've known him since I was 15. And yes, I do address him by his first and last name because you know what? That's his name. And I like calling him Jeff Daly. I used to call him by his email address. I don't know why, but I just did. And it's just, I don't know. We've always just kind of been funny and friendly. That's my boy. Like if he would have shown up on the island, now you're going to get me a little emotional. he would have been so great because he would have instantly put me in check and we would have won because he's just really good at stuff. He's a rugby player, but he's just a good dude, man. He's real. He's not social media guy. He doesn't really like, my ego does not get pumped up in this house. I can tell you that now. Like, they're proud of me, but the show's like, they'll walk in and be like, are you watching this again? And I'm like, sorry, dude. Like, I can't believe I did this. Like, I need to rewatch it. But they're just so, like, they're proud of me, but they're also real. Like, they will keep anybody in check. Like, you could think that you're the greatest thing in America. You come home, your mom, and I need you to give me a ride somewhere. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, these people are real. I have twin girls that are 14, and I have a son who is 16, and they're just, you know what? They're just legit. They're real. No, they don't. What I love most is, and I guess this is good, they just don't matter. Like, they are not afraid to give you a mouthful if you need it. And that's good and bad for teen girls. I will say that. But they're not going to get pushed around. They're not going to tolerate something happening in front of them that they don't feel comfortable with. Like, they are always going to stand up for themselves and be who they are. And I love that.
How did Jeff Daly go from just a buddy to a suitor?
I don't know, dude. Okay, so this is how it went down, right? We're going to take you back to about 20 plus years ago. He used to always call and be like, this is where we're going if you want to go. I'd never show up. I mean, not that I just wouldn't show up because I just wouldn't show up. It's just like something else would come up. He left me a voicemail on my answering machine. So I called my buddy and I was like, yo, you want to meet me? Because everybody knew everybody. Like, we were just all friends. And me and my girlfriend went up to, I found out where he was and we went up to the restaurant. And I don't know. I kind of was like, maybe I like him. Like, he's a good dude. And my parents really thought he was an honest person and had kind eyes. So that went kind of far with me. And just from then on, it just took off from there. And then we got married less than, I think, 2 years later. Because I know this guy. Like, there's a familiarity when you've known someone for so long. Mm. Like, you know their story. You know their family. They're just, a good person goes a long way. And a good friend goes even longer. Because at the end of the day, you got to like the person you're with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, yeah, since then. And super supportive. Like, I mean, boyfriend held down the house for 6 weeks, man, and like had them all in check. It was nice. I like that. I might leave again.
Just was there anybody in the family that was not on board with you going out to go play Survivor?
No, not at all. Actually, I was maybe going to be on season 37. And then who else got that call? Was that, who did I hear got that?
Ron was talking about that.
Yeah. So, but then I, last minute it was like, no, you may be on the next season, which thank God, at least I lasted longer. I don't know how I would have done on David and Goliath, but
yeah, you'd be a David, right?
No,
you were Goliath.
No. What am I saying? I would be a David. Yeah. I would be a David for sure. For mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
And some of those people were in my finals week too. So maybe there would have been, I don't know. Who knows? I don't even want to think about it.
Who knows?
I'm glad things worked out the way they did. But I told one of my daughters, hey, I'm not going to do it. I don't feel right about it. Just to feel her out. She lit me up in my text. She's like all caps. Are you kidding me? You're making the biggest mistake of your life. So I knew that they were 1,000,000% on board and they were so great about everything. And when I finally did get their letters, which was at the very end of everything, and we were all at Ponderosa, we love Talladega Nights, right? So they were putting their letters, if you ain't first, you're last. And I'm thinking, what if you're both first? it was kind of funny, but yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the game. You are part of this Manu tribe, and you end up being on this boat, and they bring in returning players. And I have to think that you're not thrilled to see returnees come in, right?
I mean, I'm a fan of the show, and it was nice to see them, but I was like, that's not, you know, and everybody thinks the same way. No disrespect to the returning players, but you do feel like they had their chance, and you kind of, and you know what they're capable of. Like, I was scared of Kelly the second I saw her. I was like, I don't know, dude. But, you know, then the game starts, and go ahead. I'll let you go to your next question before I just ramble on.
No, I want to hear your story, because I can only tell you about what happened on the TV show, but, you know, you were there and you would know how everything went down.
Well, so, okay. So they come in, whatever the game, everybody says some stuff, and then the game starts. And it's funny because I hear Ron saying, you know, there's a clue on this boat. Hell yeah, you know, there's a clue on that boat, but you also don't want to seem like that person.
He said that in the podcast, not on the actual boat.
Oh yeah. 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 In your podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, the minute they're like, go, of course you want to find the clue, but at the same time, you don't want to be the one that's not, you know, you only have so much time to throw everything off and get on the boat. And I didn't even know what to do. So I'm almost like, go. So I was like, okay, I'll jump. So, I mean, again, it's hard to think about what you're going to do. I heard Victoria say something similar that, like, you just jump because you really don't want to seem shady from the start. So anyway, I had jumped in, and now I'm dressed in complete denim. So I'm sinking instantly. Basically, I'm trying to take off my jacket and gather goods. And I will say, Kelly Wentworth was, I think there's even a picture of her helping me. She was helping me take my jacket and put it in the water because she could tell it was just weighing me down. And we were all just trying to gather as much as we could. So that was just crazy. I mean, it exceeds any expectation you would have ever had for how you were going to start your Survivor experience. I mean, it was just craziness, you know? It's cool.
Okay. So talk to me about life at camp when you guys finally get to the beach and start setting up.
Well, so we start taking the boat in, right? Mm-hmm. And instantly, like, we drag part of the boat to shore. So I saw War Dog was doing it, and I was like, well, that's not fair just because he's a big guy to do hard work. But everybody's so, like, try hard and gung-ho. So I jumped out and tried to help him as well. It really wasn't that easy. But, you know, and this will come into play later. So here I was trying to, like, take a little bit of the weight off of War Dog and be helpful. But again, my bad, because nobody wanted their mom or whatever out there, but whatever. So, but my point is I was trying to be helpful to War Dog specifically. So we get out there and it was like, where do we go? So some people were looking for it and some people, we were all looking for the well. We get this map, we're looking for the well. And some people went one way, other people went another. And we found the well. Mm-hmm. I was like, huh, we found the well. We should tell other people we found the well, like, not waste time. Because in my mind, I'm like, we only have a certain window to try to make a shelter, to try to get a fire, to get, you know, I was thinking we are on low time and I would like to sleep in something tonight.
Yeah.
So I was thinking in my head, how can I get them over here so they're not wasting time? And then people were like, don't worry about it, they'll find us. And I should have just listened to that, but I was like, hey, you guys, we found. So I did kind of, maybe that was bad looking back on it. I did kind of say, hey, you know, we're over here, kind of yelled over to them. I don't even know if they heard me. Anyway, we get back to camp and now people are deciding what to do. I just decided that I'll do whatever people don't want to do, which is weaving ponfons, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to. Like, Lauren and them were working on fire. Chris was, like, starting to build shelter. And I was just kind of trying to start conversations with people while I was doing that. I find it interesting that they think I was instantly going all over Wendy or Keith. That's just where they were. And we were weaving palm fronds. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, I mean, honestly, from the very, very beginning, I thought I might work with Lauren because she was so adorable in Ponderosa. She kept dancing. I thought she was a dancer. And when we first got to the island, I was like, are you a dancer? Because, you know, you can't talk to them. And she's like, no, I'm a soccer player. And I was like, well, you're very graceful. I found her to actually be very graceful and just adorable. Because at that point, you know, I'm missing my kids, too. And I'm like, oh, look how cute she is, just kind of dancing around. Anyway, so I didn't even think in advance to work with them. You know, I kind of taking a liking to her little dance moves. But anyway, so I just started doing that, and Wendy's doing that, and it is funny to watch back now what people were thinking, but whatever, we were doing that. And then there was a time where we were like, dude, we need fire. So they were doing fire, but fire on our end was not going down. So what it should have been in my mind is a chain, everybody, because it's exhausting rubbing on that, even right. though Joe got it apparently in like 5 seconds, but we couldn't do it. And I was like, yo, like, we'll help you. Let's all work together. And I didn't feel personally that they were interested in Wendy and I or Keith helping them. Do you know what I mean? There was a time where it was just Wendy and I working on fire, and they just kind of walked away to take a break. And I'm like, and Wendy and I were like, why can't we all this work together? That was weird. So what was camp life like? Fine, I guess. We didn't get fire. We didn't get shelter on the first night. We were cold and we were wet. So how about that?
Okay. A lot was made on the show about you moved the clothes from the other players, and you took them and you put them on the beach, and the other players didn't like that. Was that blown out of proportion?
Duh. So here's the thing, man. It was only going to be bright and sunny for a handful of hours, right?
Right.
The first night we were so cold and our stuff was still wet. And maybe it is annoying for me to be like, yo, like, we need to, or you don't have your, like, David Wright, for instance, didn't have his shoes on at all. And I'm like, all I saw was sharp stuff all over the ground. And I was like, bro, like, you might want to put your shoes on. Because, and I'm not trying to be a mom, I'm looking back, how annoying, but I just didn't want anybody to get hurt because the challenge was coming up. So I just wanted us to be warm, not exhausted, and not with cuts and abrasions everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just thinking, how can we be the best that we can be before we even hit this challenge? I didn't realize it was annoying, but they were hanging their clothes in the shade. Like, it wasn't going to get dry. And again, not everybody wanted that, but my intention was, there's only so many hours. It's super bright on the beach, of course. And no offense, Devins, because I do love you, but dude, give me a freaking break, man. Like, your stuff was soaked. And I heard that busybody comment. That wasn't being a busybody. That was me caring about you. And I know that you're maybe happy in reflection on it now. And I'm not mad at you, but I do have to point it out.
So the stuff that was in the tree, you're saying it was not in like the direct sunlight, whereas the stuff, if you moved it onto the beach, then the sun was able to, you know, hit it directly.
Yeah, it wasn't going to get dry. So I was just, it's not like I didn't tell them. It's like, I put everybody's stuff in direct sunlight, shoes too.
Mm-hmm. So does the talk of alliances start to come up at any point before the challenge?
So, yeah. So so Wendy and I and Keith, you know, after kind of seeing what was happening, we were kind of like, yeah, let's work together. But also, remember when I told you some people, we were looking for the well and two groups went off?
Yes.
Well, I was told that people wanted to get rid of the returning players. Like, and I was like, that's perfect, you know? So I, of course, jumped on board with that. And come to find out, I was being played by Keith in the end. I even, like, Wendy and I approached David, because I really like him. Like, I love that guy, man. And we were like, hey, do you want to maybe work together? Is anyone approaching you? He's like, no, no one's approached me. Whatever, he was lying. I don't blame him. We approached War Dog. War Dog's like, I don't want to talk about anything negative until we see how the challenge goes. I was like, okay, whatever. And I could tell, or at least I felt, that Chris, Lauren, and Wentworth, I felt, were working together. I didn't know War Dog was in on it at the time. And Devins was just like chatting it up with everybody, I think. But him and David got along pretty tight from the beginning. They talked about books and movies a lot, so they had a lot in common.
Was there anything that you could have been doing different alliance-wise in terms of targeting somebody different that would have changed anything at that first vote?
Okay, so unfortunately, I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. And again, I love all these people, I do, but I am a very protective person, all right?
Yes.
I felt with Keith And he had told me, like, oh, you're reminding my mom. Like, I say it in the first episode. I'm like, bro, like, do not say that to me about I'm here for you, but I don't want to seem like a mom. That went down the toilet. But I felt protective of Keith. I felt very protective of Wendy. And I don't even be, because I kept saying bless you to her. And she's like, I got to tell you, I'm not sneezing. I have Tourette's. And I was like, oh, wow. And then I don't really know anybody with Tourette's. So I didn't know. I'm like, are you going to spat out bad words? Like, how's this going to go down? And she was just so cute and so open. And I just felt for now I'm protective of her too. Right. And then there were just a couple things where I just didn't feel comfortable with. I felt like, listen, I didn't want to rush a sorority that I, or fraternity for that matter, that I wasn't interested in joining. It was like, I can't fake it. If I really don't give a crap what you're talking about, I can't even fake it. If I just don't like how I feel someone is, and I'm not saying anything negative about anyone, but I wasn't vibing with, I felt any of those people. Like, I just didn't feel that they were being genuine or, and I don't want to say they weren't being kind, but I just wasn't feeling the love for the other people that I cared for at that point that I was now being, I don't know. I really wasn't going out of my way to buddy up with them. I will tell you that. But because I couldn't fake it. If there wasn't anything, I mean, they weren't really trying to talk to me about stuff. Like, I can talk about the dumbest crap till the end of the world, man. But there wasn't really anything I wanted. I don't know. No, it couldn't have changed because I'm just, if I don't care, I just don't care. And if I'm just,
yeah.
And no one was, and this is interesting. You know how when you meet people and it's a conversation, you talk to them, they talk to you, you ask questions about one another. I didn't feel I was really, really getting that. Like, I was putting it out there I'm sorry, man. If I'm going to tell you about my life, you best be listening because I already know this information. And these are people that I cherish and care about. And you don't even deserve to hear it if you're not going to freaking listen. So I'm listening.
Yeah,
are you listening? Because I didn't feel that it was like, I felt like it was a one-way conversation. And I kind of felt like that a lot. Things have changed since, I feel like. But maybe it's just, and even Ron said on your podcast, when he was like, when you were like, did anybody know like who you were? People are so busy talking about them damn selves, they don't care about anybody else. And I want to hear all about other people. Like, what, who are you? And maybe I'll like you 10,000 times more when I know more about you. And we kind of did a round robin on night one to talk about who we were. And there were so many lovely things about each person. But when I said, I was like one of the last to say something. And I say, oh, I'm a mom. I have twins. I this, I that, you know, my daughters are musicians. My son plays soccer. And he made this sound effect like I'm bored or something that I was like, did he just do that? And I was like, huh, which made me kind of slow my roll on share. And then I stopped. And that was night one. So put yourself in my position. If somebody does that, you're kind of like, wow. So what I had to say wasn't as important as everyone else because you didn't do that to anyone else. And I did bring this to his attention later down the road, by the way. I did, which he then came back with.
I have no doubt.
No, I brought it up. I was like, you know what, dude? And that first night, like everybody was sharing and I said all this and you like, I don't even remember what it was, but it was freaking rude. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything by it. I was probably just tired. I go, but do you understand how when I didn't even know you, I was like, who, what? So from then on, I was like, screw you, man. Because I had felt when I first met him, I was like, oh, I like you because you and my son have the same hair. reminded me of my kid. And then I was like, no way, dude. You'd be lucky if I compared you to my kid. And later, you know, it was all good. But I was kind of turned off by that. So could things have been different if I was in another alliance? I wouldn't have been in another alliance because I felt protective of Keith. I felt protective of Wendy. And I just didn't feel the love from anyone else. So,
yeah. I think what you needed was for your tribe to win a couple of immunities. I think that maybe if you could have got your foot in the door, if they don't go to the first tribal council or two, then maybe people look at you as a straight shooter and somebody who's not fake and somebody who people could work with and trust.
Yeah. But here's the thing, right? We do go to that first challenge. And what's funny about that is you're trying not to like run your mouth and say, well, I'm going to do this or no, I want to do that. I was like, all right, let's just see who thinks they're taking charge and delegating everything. So I was like, basically told, this is what you're going to do. And I was like, all right, whatever. So you saw how that went down. Two people mm-hmm. got hurt. We lost. I mean, I was staring at Kama the whole time and I'm like, dude, they're killing us in this puzzle. And they're like, we can't move the pieces. I'm like, push it with your feet. Like, you know, there's other way. Cause they were heavy pieces. But I mean, yeah. I saw the demise of that when I was watching how well they were doing on their side puzzle. And then we get back to camp and you're hearing, oh, we need to keep the tribe strong. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't get hurt. Keeps the tribe strong. Mm-hmm. Like I hardly even did anything in that challenge because everybody else thought they were Hercules and wanted to take over. So this shouldn't be too bad for me. You know what I mean? And then Wentworth was even like, hey, so what are you thinking? And I'm like, I don't know. So it's nice to be in a conversation. I even actually tried to work with her at one point. Like we were talking in the woods and she was like, well, who do you think should go? And I go, well, you're talking about keeping the tribe strong. Like, I don't know. You give me a name. And she's smart, man. She's like, no, you give me a name. You know what I'm saying? And I was like,
right.
And I was like, I really don't care because at this point you're slow on time. I just didn't want it to be me and she didn't want it to be her. So I thought maybe we were going to work something out, but then she's like, who do you have? And I said, well, I have Wendy and Keith. And she's like, are you sure you have Keith? And I'm like, yeah. And I go, I don't know. I might have David. I don't know. And then I was like trying to find out from other people. And it was like, David was the freaking godfather. And they're like, well, we'll do whatever David thinks. And I'm like, who is he? The godfather? Like, fuck. You know, I'm like, what is going on here? And I did speak with War Dog, who was like, I go, dude, we're both East Coast. Like, let's link in on this. And he was very like, oh, well, whatever day, like everything mapped back to David. It was almost like they were just trying to blame somebody else for where they right. were going with it. And so she's like, you sure you have Keith? And I'm like, yeah, I'll go talk to him. Now, I didn't know anything Keith was doing, of course, until I saw it on TV. But so her and I go our own way. She goes back to shelter. I am now going to the beach. I see Lauren walking up from the beach, but I didn't think anything of it because Keith wasn't chatted up with Lauren. As far as I knew, he didn't like any of those people. You know, that's the vibe he was giving me. So I was like, yo, Keith, this is what we're thinking of doing. But at first though, when I saw him, I was like, why are you on by the water by yourself? Like I was worried about him being in a water situation alone, but I mean, he could swim, but still I was, you know, more concerned that he was near the water alone without, you know, somebody there. And then I was telling him what was up and he's like, they're playing you. And I'm like, No, I think it's cool. I'll give you a sign if that's the case, right? So lo and behold, the funny thing now, as I look back at it now, Lauren coming off the beach was Lauren securing what was going on probably with Keith. And So Wentworth knew when she said, do you have Keith? She had to have known I didn't have him. I didn't know that. And then she runs back to shelter to tell David and Rick, basically what we just spoke of, which came up at tribal later. It's like, well, I heard you were doing this. And I was like, what? And I was like, thanks. Like, thanks a lot. So at that point, even if they were maybe going to vote for Kelly, they 100% were now thinking of me because I had said to Kelly, you tell me. And then she told them, Reem wants to get rid of you guys. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Lame, so lame.
So lame.
It's like I just went ham there because who wouldn't? I mean, you have one shot, and Wendy's like, dude, they're throwing your name out there. I mean, dude, Wendy was like my paralegal, and I didn't even know girlfriend for 72 hours. Like, I trust that chick with my life, man. She hooked me up.
Mm-hmm. So that tribal council seemed like it was really hard. And I think in a lot of these tribal councils, it's not so out in the open what everybody is doing. But in your tribal council, people were not hiding the fact that they were going to be voting for you.
No, they really weren't. Oh, I was so pissed, dude. It was a freaking legit nightmare. Like, it was not awesome.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you can say in that situation? Because it's everybody has their mind made up, and it's almost like the more you try to scramble, the worse it is, and there's no way out in that situation, right?
I don't know. I kept saying, you guys are idiots. Like, hello, Kelly's going to take you all. Like, I kept bringing it up. Like, you should get rid of Kelly. Hello, here she is. Silver mm-hmm. platter. Let's do it. Let's work together. But they were all caught up on, oh, you moved my stuff. Oh, you're bothering me. And
right.
I was offended by War Dog because, you know, I like I had said in the beginning, I was trying to help him with the boat. Whenever he had to carry something, I was like, let me help you. So I was trying, you know, just because you're the one with the big muscles, the strong dude, doesn't mean that other people can't help you. So I was, it kind of hurt my, not hurt my feelings, but I was like, screw you, man. Seriously. Like, I was nice to you. And, or like if I'd give him a seat on the boat where he could see the horizon. Cause one time I felt his belly was a little off, and I was just trying to be nice, you know, whether I'm a mom or I'm not a mom, I'm not a jerk. Like, I don't care, I'm one of those people. I don't care if you're like the president. I don't care if you just, you know, came out of the welfare office. Like, I don't care who you are, dude. Just don't be a douchebag, man. And that's all I care about. Like, be a nice person, be caring, be kind. Like, don't be lame. I hate to say it, but it's true. And I felt like they were being lame.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. No, there was no way out of it. And because I knew there was no way out of it, I was like, well, guess what? I'm not going to sit here and just get railroaded by you people. I'm going to light you all up when you light me up. Like, I don't even care anymore. Let's go. That's how I felt.
Okay. Reem, you end up then being the person who gets voted out. And I'm sure nothing could have prepared you for when you reach that sign.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Did you see it the first time? I feel like a lot of people say that they missed it.
Well, you know, you're walking down this path and you're so upset and you look up and you're like, what's this? Like, you're not even, it's not even a thought that you would have another opportunity. I mean, you almost do. Yeah. Walk by it. You're just walking, your head's kind of down. You're just pissed. And then when you do realize, you're like, wait, what? And then you're like, holy crap. Hell yeah. I'm going to go. Yeah. And it was raining, and it was, oh my God, it was like the absolute worst night of my life, for sure.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine how bad that must have been to be dropped off on an island in the dark. There's nobody there. It's raining. You can't, I mean, you have a torch, but I'm sure you were you able to get anything on fire?
No, dude, it was pouring, like, and coming in all directions. Like, you hear people talking about it who are at least within, like, off the beach with some type of, you know, wind blocking device or something. Like, there was nothing. Like, I sat on that nasty wannabe platform bed, and the way that the sails were it was like so twisted within the wood with like ropes tying everything together. Like, you couldn't even pull on it. Like, you had to actually cut rope to loosen the sail to be able to try to rearrange it in a way that might protect you a little bit. No, it was freaking terrible, man.
So just talk us through that, you know, that first night there.
It sucked. Like, honestly, you know, when you show up somewhere and just, you know, from watching Survivor forever, you're like, dude, there's gotta be a clue. There's gotta be a note. Where is it? Like, where is it? So I'm walking around like a psycho going, where's my note? Where's my note? And I'm like, there's just gotta be something here. And there wasn't even light. Like, you couldn't even see. So which there was a note at the tip, right? Like, that whole mass thing, but I couldn't see that the first night. But I just was so upset and I just sat there, man. And I just sat there like rocking like a crazy person, crying. Basically, I cried all freaking night, man. And then when there was like some light, I noticed there was like a machete, and I just started like cutting the ropes and just trying to loosen it so I could at least cover myself and try to stay a little warm. And I saw there's there's me sitting on that bench covered in that. But again, it was horrible. But you know what? Who's to complain? Here's the thing, right? Yeah, it sucked. I'm not going to lie about it. But at the same time, I chose to go and it was a golden ticket. So am I going to sit there and woe is me when I have a chance to do something really cool and you don't know what it is? There are people in this world that are 1,000,000% more screwed than I was and they don't have a way out. So it's hard to feel sorry for yourself when you chose to be in that situation. And all you can really do is think about how it could have been different and how pissed you are that someone did you wrong. And how you'll never see how it was your fault, because at this point, it's still everybody else's fault. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel sorry for myself that I was wet and cold and hungry and whatever, because I chose to be in that position, you know?
So what did you do those days until Keith is going to show up?
Let's see. I tried. Well, okay. So first you scour the island. Is there a clue here? Is there something? I didn't find anything, but you're also exhausted. Like I hadn't really eaten because I puked before the first challenge. So whatever like bunk banana I ate prior was gone. So there's no food. There's one coconut tree that sucks. It has like maybe two leaves and I was trying, or two fronds or whatever. And I was trying to weave that, but that was a freaking joke. You just ended up using that to get ants off you because the sand is riddled with ants. There's lizards, there's rats, and that's about it. There ain't nothing there, dude. There is not. I didn't even see those steps around the corner. I thought I went as far as I could without like, I don't know, but apparently you could have gone further. But yeah, I just was looking for stuff. And then I was like, fun. I'll just lay here. I don't give shit. Like, I don't need to eat. It's like, I need to go on a diet before I came on here, technically. So I don't care. Didn't matter to me. I didn't want to kill something that, because in real life, I don't really eat seafood much. So I didn't want to kill something just to kill it. That's not cool. And people live for weeks on end without food. Just as long as I had some water and I didn't have a monster headache, I was fine. So I just kind of sat around and tried to find stuff. And then when I realized there was nothing to find here, I was like, well, let's just see what happens next. And then Keith shows up.
Did you think the rest of the cast was going to come through and end up there with you? Or did you think that everybody was going to be on their own island?
I didn't know anything, dude. Like you were on a need to know information. Like they told you nothing. So he showed up. I was like, all right, that's cool. So that was, and you do the math. So that was 3 days later. Keith is here. Okay. So the next person may or may not come in 3 days. When Keith came, we had the biggest fire, like anything that would burn. We had the biggest fire ever. And it was like an episode of Dumb and Dumber. And I heard Chris saying, oh, their fire was ridiculous. Okay. So, you know, at first I really tried with the fire, but I realized I was annihilating the flint with the machete. So I was like, whatever, I don't feel like dealing with this. And then it got to the point I was so exhausted, I didn't have the energy to really grind it to get all the magnesium off. So when Keith showed up, it was like a tag team effort. He couldn't spark it and I didn't have the energy to scrape it. So, and the funny thing is we had supplies around us to start this huge fire. But by the time we actually got fire, we're like, where the hell are all our supplies? So now we're like running around trying to keep this fire going. And it was pretty pathetic, actually. But we did get a fire and it was so big. When Chris showed up, we had a big fat fire. So, and that fire lasted until we completely left the island on day whatever, 35.
So I know that you and Keith end up on the same page, but was there any sort of talking through where he kind of threw you under the bus and you had known that he was partially responsible for you being voted out?
No, I never, ever knew that. And the funny thing is when Chris and Rick showed up, they kept saying, I don't know why you like him so much. Like he tried to vote, you know, and I was just like, shut up, dude. Like, first of all, he is getting on my nerves less than you two are. So I don't even care what happened in the first 3 days. I'm stuck here now. This is what's up. Like, don't think I'm an idiot because I realize that this is a game. If he threw me under the bus, that sucks. But at this point, this is who I'm closest to in this moment. So, and I just didn't believe anything they said to me because I don't know. I just, And again, I love them. Everything's fine. But then it was like, Keith was the only one that I felt was nice to me. I did not, they were not nice to me. Like, they were so busy with themselves. They never really asked about me or, and especially when you're a mom, I was giving them information about my kids and stuff, but I felt like it wasn't really asked about with like, hey, let me know about you. I didn't feel that at all. And I just, I don't know. Everybody was so mad and in their own world that I'm not here to be like, oh, nobody cared. Cause I really don't give a shit if people care or not. I have enough people in my life that care that I don't need more people knowing my business. So that's fine with me.
Yeah. And while it was something that was held against you in the game, you being such a caretaker and protector, you really were the perfect person to get the Edge of Extinction started.
So that's funny because, yeah, I guess. But and nobody wants their mom there, but sometimes it's nice to have someone who cares about you there. So we'd have the fires, right? So Chris comes, Devin's comes. Aubrey comes. Hallelujah when Aubrey came. Honestly, that was crazy. Yeah, it was just, I'm like, girl, either you deserve an Academy Award for your acting performance right now, or you realize that these people are getting on my damn nerves and you're just happy with everyone. I know that she was close with them, but we would have talks where I'd be like, you realize what's happening here, right? You see what's going on. Like, I'm not crazy. And she's like, no, I see it. I'm like, okay, cool. Because I didn't know what was up. But as far as like being a mom, I wasn't trying to be anyone's mom, man. But it's nice when somebody legit does something kind for you or cares for you or asks, how are you? Or, hey, you're hungry. I don't really want this. Would you like my portion? Or are you cold? Or, you know, whatever, just something. It's just nice to know that somebody gives a crap about you, whether you are a mom or you're not a mom, or you need that figure to just feel better in the moment that you're in. I didn't mean it, but it's just nice to be nice sometimes.
I really think that the whole Edge of Extinction would have been a lot different in terms of, you know, how many people ended up staying there if you were not the first person to go there.
Well, you're very sweet to say that, and I appreciate it. And it was kind of funny because there were times at night where the fire would be going out, and I'm just an insomniac. I never slept, so I would constantly trying to carefully be putting wood on the fire. And one night I tripped over Joe's leg because they're like a million feet long. I didn't see it, but I kicked him so hard, dude. I felt so bad. But I was just trying to put wood on the fire. And at this point, Eric was, I think, also there. And in the morning, they said, hey, Reem, we need to tell you something. And I'm like, what's up? And they're like, you know, we appreciate you putting wood on the fire, but it's waking people up and we'll take care of it. And I'm like, all right, dude, you're a firefighter and you are Joey the Amazing. No problem. But I laid next to that fire when it was almost dead. Nobody put any damn wood on it. I'm just going to say, but I didn't want, and I said, I appreciate you telling me how you feel because I don't want to annoy you. We're stuck out here together. You know, all you got to do is tell me, dude, and I'll step off. And anyway, at that moment on, they were in charge of the fire, but sometimes I did still add on to it because it was freezing and I could see when Ron came on the out and I could see where people were positioned because not everybody was real close to that fire. And there were so many rocks that you could grab and like shove into your shirt. Like it was cold, man, you know? So.
Yeah. And even that scene that we saw where Kelly, who you certainly had your frustrations with from the game, when she was out there in the sun, you were the one who came in and tried to get her to come in so she wouldn't get the sunburn.
Who wants to get sunburned, right?
Yeah, probably nobody.
Yeah, so first of all, when Kelly first showed up, I didn't give her a hard time at all. But, you know, I'm not fake. So if I didn't want to sit there and spend time with someone and just kind of brush them off and not be able to look them in the eye, like I didn't want that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not who I am. So after the morning rolled in, I was like, yo, Kelly, I need to tell you something. Now, do I regret saying it's your fault? It's not her fault. I mean, it's not her fault. I do want to point that out. But I was just bummed, and I just wanted her to know how I felt so then we could move on. I didn't want to have any animosity towards anybody. And the whole thing about her being out there, she was out there for a while. And I even said it to her closer friends. I was like, yo, someone should go tell Kelly to get out of the sun. And they're like, well, she's a big girl. And I'm like, well, it's not cool. So I did walk over there. And apparently I did hear through the grapevine that they said, why'd she even ask us to do it? She was going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah, I was going to tell her. I don't want anybody to get hurt or burned. That's just being kind, though, dude. That's not even about being motherly. It's just being kind, you know?
Yeah. Reem, I just love your entire worldview of guests. You know, be kind. Don't be a douche. And if somebody is, then you're gonna call it out.
I am. And if we're gonna fast forward to the, well, okay, I gotta throw this out there. Chris and I were ready to freaking kill each other on a daily basis out there.
Yeah.
After we came back from the first challenge, there was kind of a love fest. And I do want to address, by the way, Wendy and Keith. They by no means quit the game. That bothers me that people think that and call them quitters, because they're not, man. Like, they got out of it what they needed to. And Wendy would have won that challenge, dude. She was killing it. But I think, as you know, with pressure and maybe nervousness, I really don't know. I'm not an expert on Tourette's, but I think that may have affected things a little bit. And I don't want to say that speaking on her behalf, but
yeah,
she is such a lovely person, man. And, you know, you know where you are with things, and you know when you've gotten what you needed out of it. And I just don't want to, that doesn't set well with me that they quote unquote quit. 'Cause I don't feel that they were, it was such a beautiful, when they walked away, like, it was so beautiful. And so, like, everybody was cool, and it wasn't a I'm quitting type thing by any means. So I did want to throw that out there.
Do you keep in touch with Wendy?
150,000%. I love her so much. My kids adore her. She's just so ridiculously genuine. And, you know, she's just a good person. And her family is so kind. And her boyfriend, my God, he is. And here's the funny thing, right? They're so cute. And he's so supportive. And they're just so amazing. And he drives this badass Charger. I'm like, I would have never put them in that car because it's such a muscle car.
Yeah.
But they're so cute. And there's like the sticker of Flying Wendy on there on a chicken. It's so freaking cute. You know what? They're authentic people and I enjoy them. And she just does everything she can to help her mom be lifted up even higher. And that's just such a lovely way to go on with your life, is to just make people around you feel good. And that's just what I feel she does. So yeah, I do talk to her a lot. Keith is very busy at Duke right now, getting straight A's. I'm super proud of him. And he's a good kid too, man. Like, I know he did screw me over. My kids were kind of pissed, but it's all good now. It's all good. I wish them the best. You know what? This cast has a lot of great people in it. I love them. And Julia, holy crap. That's
yes.
I love her. I love her.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Julia, because I know from other things I've seen on Twitter that you and she became very close on the edge of extinction. I think she said when she got voted out that the best thing about getting voted out was that she got to go and meet you on the edge of extinction. I just think that you seem like that you have such a great rapport with a lot of these young people that were playing the game. Not all of them, but it seems like that you are able to, you know, have this connection with some of the younger players in the game. Is that fair?
I mean, I would like to think so. I mean, Julia and I, she just stole my heart. I loved her story. I loved everything about what she ever said to me. Like, everything she said to me, I found was, wow, it just was heartfelt. It was honest. She was just so fantastic. I loved her story. I was proud of the woman she was, the difference she wanted to make in the world. just everything about her exuded positivity. And, you know, I've got kids that'll go to college soon. I learned so much from her about just the whole educational process. Just, she's just a good person, man. And she's going to do so many great things for women, for, you know, folks with heart conditions. She's just, she's going to do a lot of good in this world. She really is.
Okay. Reem, I know one of the things that you had taken exception to from the other interviews that I've done was that Chris had said to me that he thought that if it wasn't for that they had the Edge of Extinction people become the jury, he thought you might have pulled the sale. And I know you rarely
asked, dude. I lit him up for that in a text.
Yeah, I know you did.
I was like, but what the hell was that, man? I was never going to pull the sale. So after Keith and Wendy left, it was all like freaking, oh, wow, it's just us, whatever. So I was like, screw it. I'm going to go lay in the sun and chill out. So I was next to the mast. I was never going to pull it. You realize that I've said from day one, I have to answer to my people. I never planned on pulling that. And I found it annoying that he said that. That's why I tweeted that. But I also told Chris I found it annoying. Like, I love Chris. But him and I butted heads a lot, and I'm going to call him out on something if I need to. And it's all good like that. Like, at this point, it's nothing but respect on both ends. So, but I wasn't going to, for the record. No.
So there's so much that we didn't get to see from the Edge of Extinction. Can you just tell us some stories or favorite moments that you had from your lengthy experience?
Yes. Oh, dude, there was. Okay. So, yes, I heard other people say that we played chess. We did. And it was fun. Chris actually beat me, but he had to sweep the leg. He'd be like, well, can we just end the game? I'm like, no, dude, sweep the freaking leg. Like, you won. Yes. But man up and corner me and say checkmate. Like, done. I'm not just going to give it to you. You know what I'm saying? But that we
didn't know you went to the Cobra Kai school of chess.
No, I appreciate the game, dude. And if you're going to win, freaking win. Like, David Wright beats me every single time.
Yeah, you were kind of like the Mr. Miyagi of Chris Underwood. That he was like, you know, like, I'm not going to finish it out. Like, no, you have to take it all the way to the end. You inspired him, I think.
No, I don't know about that. But, you know, yeah.
That's what he did to Rick Devens, sweep the leg.
He had to. You have to sometimes. Let's see. There was David Wright was amazing at just being a little hobbit and getting every crab in America. And I did go with him, and I heard that he said that I'd be screaming because they were coming at me, dude. And I'm like, they're coming at me. Such a wuss. It's so embarrassing. But he was so great at providing for that. And Aubrey, holy crap. She was like the conch whisperer. It was unbelievable. And she would, dude, she would grab it and just smash it. And I was like, holy shit, it's looking at you, man. How could you do it? It just looked at me, like, because it's a nasty, just, I don't even know what the hell that is. It's nasty. It's like a big, fat, black tongue that has eyes. And it looked at me like, you're going to let this happen. And I'm like, I'm hungry. Like, I felt bad.
Mm-hmm.
So one time, this is an awesome story. This is when the day after Julia got there. So it was Joe and I had just finished a game of chess, and he went to go like lay down or something. And I was walking along the water's edge, and I was like, and I'd seen these two sharks go back and forth, back and forth. And I'm like, holy shit, like those are close, man. But they weren't huge. They were like, I don't know, maybe 2.5 feet or something. So I run over to Joe and I'm like, Joe, there's sharks, there's sharks. And he was like, it was so amazing seeing him. He grabs the spear and he like trots through trots through the sand. Like, it was so beautiful to watch. And he just one shot stabs him like freaking Aquaman, dude. It was amazing. And, mm-hmm. and he grabs the shark off the spear, throws it in the sand, goes to get the second shark. And I'm like, holy crap, what just happened? And I'm yelling, help, help. Because at this point, I didn't want the shark to suffer. So I'm like, Eric, please chop its head off so it doesn't suffer. Well, we have like the dullest machete in America, right? Or not even America, in Fiji. So he's trying to cut the head off of the shark.
Yeah.
So he does that. Julia then grabs the head and goes, I'm a shark, and like plays with his mouth. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, what are you doing? anyway, he didn't get the second shark. Joe did not, but we did eat shark that night, which was weird, but whatever, it was food. It was pretty cool though, how it all went down. It was just so beautiful to watch Joe in action. Like, one and done. He's pretty amazing. That guy really is pretty amazing.
That's why they call him that. So you seemed excited when Joe got to the edge of extinction. Was that, you were a fan of his?
That was being super fanny. And I did think it was lame that they voted him off, because he kind of helped them get to where they were. Don't get me wrong, there were a lot of challenge beasts on that tribe. But I just was like, man, you know, here this guy comes back. He never even gets a chance. Like, you know, I didn't think it was fair. And he was so lovely to me, like so lovely. Really, he was.
Yeah, I thought that you were more saying that it should have been Kelly, but you felt like it was that it was wrong that they did that to Joe.
Well, I, at this point, always felt it should have been Kelly because I was like, damn it, how has she made it this far? But even I get it. Like, if you're in the game, Joe is a huge threat. And in a way, it's not fair as a fan to see somebody who's so great at the game never be able to make it far because they're who they are. You know what I'm saying? So I did, was like, oh, that's lame. Like, that sucks.
What was it like for you to start going to these tribal councils as a member of the jury?
It was nice to get out of the house. Like, that's all.
Yes.
We didn't know what the hell was going on. And we would find out legit before we had to grab our crap and go. Like, we didn't know, because sometimes it was two nights in, three nights in. And it was like, woohoo, party in the house. Like, we would be so happy to get out. One time, though, on the way to tribal, because it's cold, B, it's windy, the waves are going nuts. So I almost got run over by a boat one night. And I was, you'll see me at tribal in like my wannabe shorts, underwear, whatever. It's so not cute. But I was so cold, man, because I was soaking wet. And Joe, being a gentleman, gave me his shirt at that tribal, and I appreciated it. But it was funny to go and just see all hell break loose. I could not believe that Kama was just falling apart. I'm like, what the heck is wrong with these people? And historically, you would just chip off the other tribe. Like, what are you all doing? You know what I mean? I couldn't, in my mind, I'm like, why are they so dumb? Like, why wouldn't they get rid of Kelly Wentworth, David Wright, War Dog? Like, these aren't people they can truly trust. There has to be a disturbance in the force over there if they are getting rid of their own people. Like, I had a hard time believing that that was how they were moving forward. I was really surprised by it, honestly.
What was your favorite tribal council to be at?
Oh, I mean, duh. Julia's was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy. That was, I mean, we were like, wow, what just happened? Like, and then and Julia was so funny. She's like, shut up, War Dog. Go back to your office.
Yeah.
It was just so funny. I mean, and it was lively. It was great. Like, all heck was breaking loose at that one. That was good. And then, of course, when Devin's played the fake advantage and then went off, because we were like, wait, is he serious? Like, that was awesome. That was really great, too.
Can you talk about what was the jury's reaction to Devin's? Because we've talked a lot about how, oh, the jury was just eating up everything that Devin's was doing. Was that actually the case?
So I'll be honest with you. When I was not, and I adore Devin's now, but then I was not enamored by him or Chris or whatever. Like, they were so annoying to me. And when he went back into the game, I was like, whatever, good for him. We still get another. Like, I didn't even think about it. But when I walked into tribal council and saw that he won immunity, I was legit so proud of him and happy for him. And that was my I'm rooting for him point. Because I was like, damn, man, good for you. Like, you went in there and you won immunity. Like, I was so happy for him. And I think we were just proud of him because he was scrappy as heck. I mean, we were surprised that he was doing so well. We didn't know how someone would honestly be received after getting back into the game. So I was really happy for him and rooting for him. And honestly, everybody knew it too. Like, I didn't hide it. I was happy every time I saw him like that.
How much of the time at the edge of extinction was talked about was one person was going to get back into the game? How much of it, of the discussion was like, hey, well, whoever gets back in, then, you know, that's our person. And how much was it like sort of like that the group was going to be excited for the person who got back?
Of course, we would be excited for whoever got back in the game. Did that mean we were going to vote for them? No. I mean, they had to do stuff. I mean, it had to be like, I don't like, I got a lot of issue with people that think they know what's going on. Okay. Everybody who came to the edge of extinction had diarrhea of the mouth about every single thing going on in the game. We had nothing freaking better to talk about. So we were going to find out what was up, right? We found out from every person that came, who was playing with who, what was going on, who was like strategic, who wasn't. So it's not like we did not have background. Honestly, if Victoria was in there, she was getting major street cred. And who knows how it would have been if she was in there. But I'm just telling you, like, it's not like we did not know anything. We would have been happy for whoever went back in, but you just because you went back in didn't mean you were going to get our vote. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, it wasn't automatic.
No. And I mean, honestly, if you went back in and for me, if I spent all these days with you and you didn't even help out or do anything, like, dude, Chris fished as much as he could. He made me a fishing pole. He taught me a lot. We also fought on a daily basis. I thought he was disrespectful to me. And I kept having to have a, let's talk about what we've talked about 500 times about how I'm not going to put up with your crap, vice versa, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, Chris is a hard worker. He's a good dude. And he busted his butt at the edge of extinction. And he busted his butt when he got back in. Like, the kid is Captain America. He had 30 knots held against him at the very first challenge. And he was almost, he was in like the final, you know, last minute possible win. Like, the kid is Captain America. End of story. He is. And he does his portion to win. He won for good reason. Like, if I don't even want to throw a name out there, but if someone else just didn't do anything and made it that far, they would have had to have something to prove why they should win. I mean, nobody wants to leave and not be proud of who their winner is. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a whole season. We didn't go out there for 39 days, leave our families for 6 weeks to walk away with somebody who won, who didn't represent. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And you didn't have to be at the edge to represent. But the fact that they were, went back in and did what they did, bravo, dude. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So there you have it.
I'm sure you've seen a lot of fan reaction of people that were upset that somebody that was on the edge of extinction for as long as Chris was went on to win the game. Do you have anything that you can say to those people?
Well, I mean, again, it wasn't, this is Jeff Probst's sandbox, right? He decides what's going to go down. This is how it went down. Nobody knew what that edge was like. It was directly from hell. People who never had to go there, good for them. They were still in the game. But, you know, if it was you, because it could have been you, you could have been voted out and had another chance. So what? Because some people didn't go to the edge, it's not fair. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. But this is how the game was. Chris deserved to win. Like, everybody knew what everybody was doing. It's not like we weren't an educated jury. We were educated. We knew what was going on. We knew what your peers thought of you. We knew what we wanted you to say at that final tribal to maybe sway our votes. Like, there were things that people were like, if I hear this, if this goes down, if, like, I'm sorry. It was very impressive. Yes, he did have a couple advantages by knowing Lauren had an idol, but that doesn't mean that was a guarantee she was going to play it for him. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That whole thing about the note that Ron wrote about you can trust Chris. I didn't know that she was like, this is a bunch of BS or whatever. Cause I was like, yeah, if you're going to write him a note, why don't you write the rest of us a note? I thought that was, but
yeah.
But at the same time, that's smart of him to say that. You know, I mean, there were a lot of things that he did do right. Now, to be pissed off that he had half an idol and then gave it to Rick. Rick didn't have to play the other half of that idol, dude. Like, hello.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of things that you really don't have a right to be mad at. Like, sit down, think about it. You really don't have a right to be mad at it. Complain about something else.
Okay. Can we talk about when War Dog got to the edge of extinction?
Yes, please.
Yeah. And I know we talked about this a little bit at the finale, but that you talked about in the first 3 days of the game that you guys were not getting along great then, and you were waiting for him to show up.
I was waiting for him to show up because I thought that he was Nancy negative to me at the freaking, at my tribal council. I didn't like that he said we were oil and water. I was like, dude, like, I was totally trying to be helpful to you. I'm sorry if you found that annoying, but I can't believe you said that. So I'd been waiting and waiting and waiting for that oil and water BS. And I promise Keith, if I ever see War Dog, I'm going to say that. I'm going to say, well, oil's over here, water's over there. And I promised Eric, who is the nicest guy in the world. He said, Reem, please, can we just come back and go to bed? It's late. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm not going to say anything. That's why I was like, yeah, you're going to get it tomorrow. I'm going to be quiet tonight. Well, lo and behold, him and Wentworth exchanged a couple words, and I didn't like the way he spoke to her. So that's how that sparked off. I was like, yeah, don't talk to her like that, dude. And then from there, it got ugly because I really did not plan, because I don't know. There's something about Eric that you try to be the best person you can be around him, and I didn't want to upset him. So that's honestly, I
not
didn't
in front of Eric.
Yeah. I didn't want to upset him, but when he said something to Wentworth and I didn't like how it was, I'm like, I'm not scared of you, dude. Let's go. And it got ugly, got really ugly. And the funny thing about that though,
yeah,
I didn't even want to sleep on the damn bench that night because at that point I'd been cold and I'd actually been sleeping by the fire, but I was trying to kind of prove a point. And I was like, you're on my bed, get off. And I was so freaking cold that night, but I was like, nope, not going down there. I'm going to stand my ground. But then we ended up speaking the next day. We had a great talk. I explained to him 1,000,000% everything why I was upset about. He's like, I'm so sorry you felt this way for this long. I'm like, well, it hasn't kept me up at night, but I've been waiting to talk to you about it. You know, I just like to get everything out into the open, man, because you are chilling with these people and you don't know how long you're doing it for. So we did have a nice talk, and then moving on, I shared some of my tarp or whatever the hell that thing is with him. So
yeah, so things were fine with War Dog after that first night.
Yeah, it was totally fine. I just, you know, I needed to understand why he said some of the things he did. I was upset about some stuff with Wendy, and I just needed to air everything out to him, and he gave me his piece, I gave him mine, and from there on, it was like a beautiful friendship. Yeah, it's... he's fun. He's not a bad person. He's really not. He's very sensitive, actually.
Yeah. So was there anybody else from the Edge of Extinction that you ended up butting heads with?
Butting heads with? Well, I swear, I am not kidding when I tell you every day, Chris and I would fight all the time. I remember we had a big fight and Joe had just shown up. And I heard Aubrey say, let's not fight in front of our guests. That's exactly what I said with Joe. I go, listen, I do not want to make our guests feel uncomfortable. This is, and Aubrey was like, what? This is your house. It was just funny. Like, I didn't want people to show up and deal with like drama. You know, I didn't want that. But anyway, no, but, and again, Chris and I are 100% fine, but I do want to say something. When Ron showed up, because I heard him tell you that I got it out of him, Ron was my hero. He shows up and we're sitting there and I'm like, tell me about yourself. And he's like, man, I'm like, dude, I got all day. Like, just please. He starts telling me from the minute he was born. I'm like, I'll start from the very beginning, dude. He ends up being from a town called Chocowinity in North Carolina. And he's like, you've never heard of it before. And I'm like, wrong you are, because my father-in-law had built a retirement home there and he couldn't believe it. So that was just kind of funny. And I was sitting there and as he's telling me about high school and then college and then what he did after college. And then it turns into this crazy story about this book and then Oprah and then this school. And I'm just, my mouth is like to the ground and I'm like, shut up. Like, I didn't know anything about this dude, anything. And it was just the most fabulous story I'd ever heard in my life. And I didn't mean to call him out with everyone. I was like, oh my God, you guys, do you have any idea who is sitting with us today? Like, this guy's fantastic.
Right. You were excited.
I was so excited. And he was like, great. There goes me winning anything if I ever get back in. And I'm like, no way, dude. You'd get the money first because you actually do good things. Like, you're amazing. You help children. You promote education. Like, everything about him was great. And to make him even more fantastic, I sat there and I was like, man, I've been sitting here and I don't know why, but I just want some freaking nuts and cheese, dude. Like, I want some nuts and cheese. And he pulled a nut out of his pocket and he said, I've been saving this for you. And he gave me a pistachio.
Where did he get a pistachio from?
I guess he stashed it from like a merge feast or something. I didn't even care. He could have had that pistachio in his pocket for like 800 years. I didn't care. He gave me a pistachio and it was like the most beautiful gift of friendship in that moment. It was, I'll never forget that, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. Rima, what else from, I don't even know what to ask you about because there's so much that we didn't see.
So you didn't see a lot. I will say, what was that island like? That island, like I said, had like one tree, one coconut tree that you could actually get. The coconuts were bunk. It was cold. It was riddled with ants. Like you'd lay in the sand, but I don't know. It just wasn't like sand from the Manu beach. This all, and they thought I was crazy, but I'm like, yo, you see them. They're here, man. Ants, like millions of freaking ants and lizards and rats. Like a rat ran across Keith's chest one night. It was the funniest damn thing.
Oh my God.
He done lost his mind. Like,
oh my God.
It was so funny. And I'm like, what are you freaking out about? Because I didn't think it ran across his chest because he was on the platform bed. But we had cut a coconut on that. So there was like now food residue. So now the rats are having a field day getting all over everything. It wasn't until I was laying there one day and a rat ran across my chest that I was like, oh, hell no. Like, that was not cool at all. But I'm sure that happens all the
time. Very lame. Very lame.
Totally lame. But, you know, it's hard to complain about it. It did suck. It was very reflective. I thought that it was, I mean, we could have gone two routes on the edge of extinction, right? We could have been like, and we thought about it, like, should we just like make it a living hell so people want to raise the mass and get out of here? Like, what should we do that? And even if you want to be a jerk, you just end up not being a jerk because you know that they left their family. They left everything. They love this game too, man. Like, you got to respect a person's feelings. Yeah, it's okay to let out how you feel. Let's all like, I'm not trying to be all kumbaya and like, because the game is called Survivor. You don't want to be too soft about stuff. But it wasn't a bad thing to have a place where when we physically left Fiji that everybody didn't hate each other. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I thought it was a great place to think about what you did wrong, how you could have been a better person, how you appreciate everything in life, what's important to you, like, because is it easier than being in the game? No way, dude. It is an emotional freaking nightmare. Because when you're cold and when you're hungry and when you feel like nobody here has to like be friends with me and some of them aren't even being nice, like what the hell? Like they can't even fake it. Like it strips you of everything and it makes you like really take a look at what you want to be or who you are. And again, I'm not trying to be all like therapy session or anything, but at the end of the day, it just boils down to, and I really think that we should make a slogan of this. Don't be a douche and be kind. It can't kill you to be kind, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you
could change the world.
I'm not changing anything, but I will say I can't even change my freaking daughter's eighth grade dean to get her off of detention on the last day of school. Like, that's just not cool. Like, is it that important to you? I don't understand that. But anyway, it's just, you know, did we talk about what would happen? Of course, we had nothing better to do. Did we talk about every player in the game that was still in the game and what they were doing? Duh, we're not stupid. Like, this wasn't people who had never played the game before. I mean, it was like, it's almost, it's almost, I want to use the right word here, but I can't think of it. We'll just say it's not cool to assume that we sat around there. Hey, if whoever gets in, we're going to vote for you because you were hanging out with us. No, dude, I don't think so. That's not how that went down. There was a lot being spoken of, you know, if you wanted to be part, there were like 15 different conversations all the time of someone talking about something. It was just like, how long can you sit and listen to this shit for is what it boiled down to. So you'd have to pop in and out of certain conversations.
Okay, I want to start to bring in some questions that I have for you from the listeners and sort of building on what we're talking about. Dan Flaherty wanted to ask you, we've heard a lot about the worst aspects of the Edge of Extinction. What were some of the best aspects?
You know what? Why do I always say that?
I love it.
I mean, how often are you just going to choose to put yourself in a position where you got nothing, dude? Like, you got nothing. How are you going to come out of this? Do you, like, you're so busy thinking you need all this stuff in life. You don't need shit, dude. You can go out there, and as long as you have your pride and you know who you are and you're not a douche and can be kind, you can do anything, man. So I was really, and it keep in mind, it did take like over almost a month for me to be proud of myself. But in general, what good came out of it? Legitimate relationships, knowing what you are capable of, maybe self-reflection of you're so busy every day doing stuff that you think is, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Why wouldn't I do that? I'm amazing. I'm perfect. You know what? Somebody may see it differently. Like, it allows you to look at the other side of the coin. I have to say this because it really made a big difference in my life. So with Chris and I's bickering all the time, one morning I woke up and I was like, holy crap. And I was kind of a little teary eyed. And I'm like, Chris, I actually need to thank you. And he's like, oh, what is it now? And I'm like, no, dude, legit. I need to thank you because I think what has happened here in the time we've spent together with our bickering, with everything that goes on, at the end of the day, like, don't pick up the phone if you don't have a minute to talk to that person. Don't call somebody. If you're not doing anyone any favors if you ain't going to listen to them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. People all want to be heard. People all want to be cared for. And honestly, that came full circle when realizing how I was feeling with Chris and I's relationship, that I think at the end of it, it became, you know, I act like I sound like I'm complaining a lot about him and I, but I'm not, because if it wasn't for all of that, it wouldn't have turned out so beautifully for me and my self-reflection. And I think for him. So I think at the end of the day, that relationship ended up really making an impact on me, or I try to remember it made an impact on me every day. So.
How much of that have you been able to carry on with you into your life all these months after you played the game?
I try to remember it mostly when I'm on a phone call with my mom, or and I try to tell other people that with, you know, I've spoken with actually a few people about that. And it's like, not that I'm looking for someone to say you're right, but at the end of the day, like, don't you hate it when someone calls you and then they're like, bah! Like, they don't even listen to what you have to say. Why'd you freaking call me, dude? Or why, if you couldn't take my call, why'd you answer it? Like, give me at least a minute or 2 minutes, like something. So I have tried to carry it out, and I try to like remember that and tell other people too, because I think it goes a long way, especially with parent relationships, you know, as they get older and they just need a little more of you. It's try to remember that it wouldn't kill you. And it goes a long way. Because the guilt when you don't do it is never ending. So you might as well just be cool for like 10, 15 minutes, because it will last you so much happiness throughout that day and moving forward. So,
Reem, Edward Morris wanted to ask you, would you have worked better with Kama? What do you think if you would have ended up on Kama instead of Manu? How would that have been different? Well, one, you would have never gone to tribal council.
Yeah, it would have been great. I would have made it to the merge. I don't know. I mean, I would like to think so, because Eric was in my finals week and I used to call him Tony Hawk in my head. And I felt like we had a connection, whether we did or didn't. I felt like that. Julia and I would have gotten along amazing. I don't know. I think so, maybe, but you don't know. You know, people say that me and Aurora would not have gotten along, but they're very wrong about that. I adore Aurora. My heart is so open to her for her story. I think she's strong and fantastic. We may have butted heads here and there, but she would have had my heart at that point. So I don't know. It's hard to say, and it's frustrating to think about. I mean, I think that they knew what they were doing. Listen, these people aren't stupid. Casting is genius. Jeff Probst, it's not his first rodeo. He had to have known that I was going to like go ham and end up on the edge. I mean, he had to have known.
Do you think that they did know that? Do you think that they felt like?
I really don't know, but it's all good, man. Like, I have nothing but thankfulness for all of it. So I'm not mad about it, but they are pretty smart. I don't know.
They're smart, but I don't know if they're like omniscient where they can tell, like, because I've heard people say, they cast Reem and they knew they had the edge of extinction and that she was going to go there. But you know, they don't know. Like, they could say like, okay, this person is going to be either they'll be out early or they're going to, you know, once they get their feet under them, they're going to end up, you know, going really far. I don't know if they're that good that they can tell the boot order before the season starts.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Kristen Cole wants to ask you,
Yes. Could
you tell while filming that the production was loving you? Were you surprised how much of a story you got on the show and how well it was received by the viewers? Dude, I freaking love you. And can you please pitch a DC know-it-alls to Rob in your classic Edge style? Because I'm crushed that you never had a watch party. Love your Ashburn neighbor.
Oh, who's that? Who's that?
Kristen.
What is Kristen's last name?
Kristen Cole.
Huh. Thanks, Kristen. I didn't have a watch party, and I'll tell you why. Like, one of my very best friends threw me like a little, like an intimate something, because I like to watch it with my family. Like, that's just kicking it.
Don't call me, right?
Don't call me. Yeah. And, I didn't do that. I'd love for you to come out here, dude. That'd be sweet. I mean, I would just love to see you again. I think that would be a lot of fun, maybe for the next season or something. I would a million percent love that.
I know a lot of people are pushing. So you would come out if we were in DC for
Listen, man, I just don't want to get in any trouble with the powers that be. If they say it's cool for me to do something, I'm in.
Yeah. Well, you should be in the clear now.
Yeah, you'd know more than me. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. But what about the production? Could you tell that the producers seemed like that? Because I think that, you know, people that the production is enjoying what they're giving them, I think they tend to know.
All right. I honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't know. But I think that they were happy when an argument went down because it was exciting. I mean, it's always exciting when we bicker or I don't know. In some of my testimonials, I think I saw somebody crack up once. I don't know. But they're so professional. Like, they don't try to show any type of emotion. They're just doing their job, man, you know, and it's not like they're talking to you. So I don't know. I mean, sometimes I would just sit there and like talk to myself. And I think they were like, who the hell is she talking about? Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, well, that's a producer's dream if you just interview yourself.
Well, it was funny because one time that producer was like, huh, you talk a lot. And I'm like, you know what, dude? I actually don't talk a lot. If I don't like you, I'm not going to say a damn word. You're kind of lucky I'm talking right now, because if I'm pissed off and I have no feeling of love or interaction, I'll just sit here quietly looking at you like, so I find it offensive if you think I talk a lot, because you should be honored if I am talking. How about that? I was all pissed off.
John Tinkham wants to ask you, based on the fact that you didn't spend any time with Gavin or Julie in the game, was there anything that they could have said or done at the final tribal council that could have potentially earned your vote?
So we had heard a lot about what was going on. And I just, you know, I got to give Julie a lot of credit, dude. Like, she busted her ass and she did win some immunities. And I learned more about her in that tribal than what was being told to me by her past tribe mates and people that were in the merge with her. And Gavin as well, I learned a little more, but it just wasn't hitting me hard. And it was annoying to me that I felt there was a level of disrespect for the Edge too, because I was like, yeah, dude, this is the game. Like, how do I know you could have dealt with this? And like, Like, it was an emotional freaking roller coaster that I don't know. I'm sure they would have lasted. Don't get me wrong. But you don't know how people are going to do. Like, I saw everybody, like Kelly Wentworth will admit, she like hid under her tarp the whole time, unless it was time to eat. She hated every second of it. Like, a lot of people could not function out there. They were a mess. They stayed, but who knows how long they could have stayed for. You know, some of them, like Eric is a total tough guy. I was surprised to hear that he had a hard time. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't, who knows emotionally the toll it would have taken on some of these people to do more. So I needed to hear just a little bit more, and I wasn't hearing it. And I was so impressed with everything Chris did in his moments in the game that I just, it to me, it didn't even seem like a contest sort of. I just wasn't hearing it though. Like, their gameplay, I wasn't hearing what, and I can't remember the exact words of what other people were saying, but I wasn't hearing it because I remember when I looked over at someone and they were shaking their head like, no, you're not giving it to me. And I was like, damn, if that's how they feel, I'm a little surprised. And then I was hearing sales tactics and ways of doing things. And then you're seeing this person take off their neck, you know, just everything that had occurred with Chris that went down was just, to me, so impressive. And why would they not get rid of him? Like, I don't know. Like, the fact that Devins gave him that, you don't owe anybody anything in Survivor. But I mean, Devins is a good guy and he felt terrible, but that was his game, man. Like, I don't know. To me, that was all of it teed up for a win. So.
Okay. Jessica Frey wants to ask you about how Aubrey mentioned that there was a Reem story she couldn't share. Do you know what story she's talking about? Whether
yeah,
you want to share
I know
it
what
or
story.
Not.
I love Aubrey. Aubrey's so sweet. Like, we're good friends. I really like her. So I appreciate her not sharing it because it's kind of embarrassing. But you know when you have to go to the ladies' room?
Okay.
There's certain spots where you do things.
Okay.
Well, I had a hard time going to the ladies' room, and some people do. I was impressed that other people didn't. Like, how's that possible? We were eating the same crap. I don't know. Anyway, I was finally possibly having a magic moment.
Yes.
And you know how there's drones everywhere to get camera footage, obviously.
I don't, because I played Survivor before drones were invented, but I understand.
I was like, are you serious right now, dude? Like, I'm having a moment. And it interrupted my moment. I was so freaking pissed. Like, I marched over there and just was like, what? Blah, blah, blah. I was just screaming. And they just thought it was the funniest damn thing because they knew that I had worked on weeks.
Right.
This could have been it. Like, we've been waiting for this. And that I guess they thought it was funny. I was like so pissed off because I needed that.
Was the moment ruined?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know.
Wow.
We don't need to go into detail, but
no, I don't know. I know what you're talking about, yes. But I don't know if the listeners fully comprehend, because there are sometimes that a survivor may not, you know, go to the bathroom for weeks when they're out there.
Yeah.
So it's a big day. That's a milestone happens for a survivor.
It would have been. They just thought it was so damn funny. I mean, you know, we had, there were a lot, like there were some really, the crabbing, I'm telling you, watching people crab, like when you are team crabbing, it is the funniest damn thing. Like Julia was really impressive with her spear crabbing, and David was impressive. And like, I don't know. I was really inspired by some of these people, and it was like group looking for things. I don't know. It was great. There were a couple times when there was some drama, but you know what? Why focus on that? I guess I was a little annoyed, I will say, in the end. And bravo to Joe and Chris. Really, one time everybody went crabbing except those two. And I was like, well, what the hell? Why aren't they crabbing? That's not cool. What I did not know, because you don't know unless someone tells you, they were not feeling good. Like, they were exhausted. Like, they had no gas left. And what they did have, they were saving for the challenge. Where Julia and I, towards the very end, were like, dude, did we lose weight? we might want to start working out. Like we would start doing a little dips, a little bit of water aerobics. Like I was like, I'm not going to go back looking bad. If I didn't eat for a month, we might want to start working out a little bit. So I didn't realize how they were feeling. Anyway, just throwing it out there.
They were sick or they were conserving their energy?
They didn't have any energy. And I did not know that because I didn't show up all muscular. And when you're losing muscle, you're more tired than when you're just, you showed up, 10, 15 heavy and it was okay to lose it. It wasn't going to hurt you by any means. They showed up in amazing condition, if not thinner than they should have been. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me ask you this question from Evan Clemente. Dude, if you could do the amazing race with somebody from the edge of extinction, who would it be?
Who would it be? I mean, I liked a lot of people, but I mean, I don't know. Like I would do it with Julia. I would do it with Aubrey. I would do it with Joe just because he's good at everything. Chris and I might be good TV, but he would be so bossy to me. I don't know if I could deal with it. Sorry, Chris. I know you don't want me either.
Good TV.
Yeah, but I know TV. He doesn't want, trust me, we don't want each other. We'd kill each other. But I mean, if we got asked, I'm sure he would do it. No, I would too. But at the same time, like we would kill each other the whole time. I would do it with everybody because you know what? Everybody is a good competitor and they'd be fun to be with. They would, I mean, Ron, I would do it with just because I love him so much and he's probably an incredible map reader. Everybody, I love them all. Honestly, you got to respect people wanting to work so hard at something and put their heart into it that I know that they would go 150% and I just want to be with someone that would go 150%. So, yeah.
Okay. Another question from John Tinkham. Who was the toughest chess opponent on the Edge of Extinction?
I never beat Chris, man. I wanted to, but I never did. I didn't play David Wright in chess, and I wanted to, but we were so busy doing other things. I ended up in a spades tournament. Julia and I were busy beating Ron and Eric in spades, but Chris, I never beat...
With Ron's cards.
With Ron's cards. Thank God he brought those. Like I was like, hallelujah, man. Please. That was amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. But the chess, like we did tee up a huge competition, but it didn't go down. I basically never beat Chris and I never played David on the edge. And since I've been online, like through Game Pigeon playing with David, I've only beat him once. And I think that's because he just wasn't paying attention, but he beats me like 100 times over every time. And I love it. I don't mind losing because when you lose in chess, it's a learning experience, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you from Michael Clark. He wants to know, Reem, if you could role play what it would sound like if somebody tried to call you while you and your family were watching Survivor.
If someone tried to call me, dude, I wouldn't take that call. Yeah. I mean, that's just annoying. It's like, who are you? Like, decline. No.
What if I came knocking on your, I was Chris Underwood and I want to sell you some solar panels.
All right. I'd probably hit pause. First of all, we like to start 10 in so we don't have to deal with commercials. So it's like, I'd hit pause. I'd then go to the door and I'd be like, not interested. I don't care. You have to say like horrible time. Why are you coming to my house that late knocking on the door? That's unacceptable. Let's just start with that. No, thank you.
Okay. This is a question from Jason Auric. Wanted to know, what were your thoughts on the final season of Game of Thrones? Without going spoilers, because people, Ron gave some details out, and I know that people, not everybody had seen it, but were you thumbs up or thumbs down?
I don't want to talk smack about Game of Thrones because I love that crazy shit, dude. I love Game of Thrones. I think Khaleesi got a little cray cray. I thought it was a little cheesy when they were flying their dragons together. Like, come on, man, that's lame. I didn't like that they were, she still wanted to hook up when she knew it was her nephew. That's weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, I liked that. I liked it when John killed her. I thought that was cool. But then what happened afterwards, I was like, what? I don't know. I don't want to talk smack about it. I was hoping for a little more excitement in that last episode. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, the whole flying dragons things, like, let's go fly dragons together. I get it. The dragon knew who he was, so he was able to fly the dragon. I'm not an idiot. I get that. However, they didn't need to spend so much time on that. I didn't know what the hell was going on in that fight episode. I had to watch that like two or three times because I was like, what is happening? I couldn't see a damn thing. There was so much going on.
Too dark.
Oh, my God.
Was darker? That's episode of Game of Thrones or when you got to the edge of extinction?
When I got to the edge of extinction, there was some light in the Game of Thrones episode. Dude, that sucked. Like, but again, I don't want to sound like, why? I did it to myself, man. Everybody knows not to do that stuff. Like, you don't think about it, though. You really don't.
It's all good. You don't think that people knows not to do what? Make TV episodes that are too dark?
No, like, I don't know. When you bring back The Edge of Extinction and like I say, I don't feel sorry for myself that I ended up there. I put myself in that position. Like, I shouldn't have touched other people's stuff. Like, and it's funny to this day, this guy I work with, we were at a trade show and I moved his phone because it was not in a good spot. And he's like, Reem, you know better than to move people's stuff. And I was like, shut up, dude. Like,
right.
Like that still comes up. Oh my gosh. I have to give a shout out to all the awesome people that write songs and make clips.
Oh, the Wandoff artists.
Holy crap. The Wandoff artists are amazing. The people that make these little rap videos and memes and GIFs and all, they are so funny. And I love every single second of all of them. Thank you. And don't stop for Reeman. Dude, that made me cry, man.
Oh, wow. That was a really good one.
That was deep.
With two Bs.
That was deep. I also love Little Maisie doing... Maureen, that was cute. All of them are great. All of them are great.
Such an inspiration to all of the Wandoff artists. at the end of the season, everybody was still talking about you.
Hilarious. That's just. Yeah. I love that they'll even take time out of their lives to do it. Like, I'm so honored. Thank you,
Reem. What else do you want to talk about?
Let's see here. Dude, I love your show. Let me tell you something. Like, I'm a huge Howard Stern fan, right? I love a good interview. I feel like your interviews are on point. I did take some notes here, though.
Okay. Oh, good.
This was from the beginning. Who was this chick?
Okay, so these are notes for notes from the season of Survivor.
It was a Rob had a podcast, and Leanna was on it.
Yes, Liana, yes.
Yeah, she's all like, who gets kicked out of the gym? Anyone who dealt with the dude I dealt with, you would have done the same thing, girlfriend. If you did not eat for 2 weeks and you didn't see much movement on that scale, you would have been pissed too. He would have kicked your ass out too, trust me.
It was good prep for the edge of extinction, though.
Right? That's all good. Let's see.
I love that you made a list.
I made a little list. Somebody said I had because you guys were going off of the initial interviews that I did for press, right? Because you didn't know anybody, right? So, and people are like, oh, she has an abrasive personality. Shut up. Like, honest? I'm so sorry that the world today can't deal with honest. Do you want somebody to just sit there and, like, buttercup you? Take the honesty. And when I first meet people, like, I don't think I'm abrasive. I'm very, hi, how are you? I don't sit there with a resting bitch face like a lot of other people do. I'm actually genuine and I ask about you and all that other stuff. So if y'all think that's abrasive, I probably don't even want to be friends with you. How about that?
Okay, good.
Okay, what else? that's really all it was. I just was listening to some things. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's funny how you're so judged off these interviews. And to not remember, because I know that, hello, everybody knows that. But the minute you're put in that situation, like, I'm not an award-winning actress. I only know how to be who I am. And I found it funny that people came to me during the season and were like, dude, you were totally yourself. You were yourself. Well, how can you not be yourself? Like, bravo to somebody that can go into a situation and be a total chameleon. Can lie to someone's face. I mean, hello, Survivor. Can lie to somebody's face, can fake it up. I just wish I could do that, but I don't have the energy to do that. And I'm like, I just don't. And it's, if you look at old school Survivor, like, a lot of people weren't like that, you know? Mm-hmm. A lot of people weren't. Richard Hatch wasn't. Like a lot of people weren't, you know? And I loved every second of that. I love that because in real life, it is Survivor and you're dealing with people's real personalities. Because sooner or later, dude, that's going to come out, you know? And that's when it boils down with what you can and can't deal with, I feel like.
Yeah, Reem, I think you're tapping into something that I do feel like that maybe one of the reasons why you resonated with people also is because I do feel like that you are a bit of a throwback where in the very beginning of the game, it's like, okay, here are these like 16 very different personalities. And now how are they going to interact? And you know, the way that the show has evolved, it's so focused on the game and the advantages and the votes. And so that you are really not incentivized to have a personality that is anything but like a poker face.
Well, you get to a certain point in your life that you just, you don't have it in you to act anyway, except for who you are. And even if you planned on doing something different, you kind of forget that you planned on doing something different because you don't know how to do something different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You are who you are. It is what it is. It's all good like that. I do want to say that every time we got a clue, like nobody would have figured out that. Nobody would have figured out that map if Devins didn't say something. I know that he said something to you on the interview that like he couldn't believe that he was like, oh, this is what you do. Dude, nobody would have figured that out. Like legit, nobody. Oh, I do want to say something. Okay. We come when Chris, when Keith and I found that thing in the water, the advantage, legit, we were just going in to wash off and look for clams or whatever. Like Chris was right. We had no idea. We really didn't. And we're tired because we had just been scrambling. And I'm like, oh, all this Rumpelstiltskin business. I can't even deal with it. And I was like, yo, dude, what is that? Keith touched it first. It's obviously his, right?
Right.
Came back. You saw the fight. They were like, oh, you gave it to him. No, I didn't. Like, don't ever tell me that I did something I did not do. You don't know what the hell went down. Don't do that, dude. Do not do that. So I was like super pissed about that. You see me grabbing my neck and rolling over? That's because who the hell knows why? But sometimes I get this random sharp pain and that's what that was. I was like, oh my God, I can't even deal with you right now. Like, shut up. I have to deal with this pain in my neck. Hold on a second. Meanwhile, the next day they went through Keith's bag. And then I kept saying to Keith, I was like, yo, dude, you need to have that bag on you at all times. And he's like, I am. Well, this one morning he went to the men's room. Well, the men's room around the corner in the sand, whatever. But he left the bag on the bench. And I look up and I see Devins and Chris going through the bag. And I'm like, what are you? And I'm freaking out. I'm not freaking out because they're simply going through his bag and it's not cool. I didn't want those idiots to know. I mean, not to call them idiots, but I didn't want them to know what the advantage was so they could practice. I didn't want them, because then how is it an advantage if you're going to start practicing on what's being held against you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was pissed off that now they knew what it was. I was mad at Keith for leaving his crap there, but I was like, holy crap. Like, now you guys know. And they're like, it's the game Survivor. And I'm like, I know the name of the game, dude, but that's not. So I was like, that's not cool. You guys went through his stuff. And I'm yelling, Keith, they're going through your stuff. But what I was upset about in that moment was, great, now they know what it is. I didn't want them to know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was pissed. And then they're like, well, Aubrey knows. Aubrey did it. And I was like, what? I didn't care if Aubrey knew. For some reason, I just didn't want Devins and Chris to know.
Right. Right. They were your adversaries.
In that moment, yes. Yes. So, yeah, I just wanted to point that out. That's what that was about. And that was a nasty fight, too. I'm sorry that didn't make it. That was one of the top ones. Yeah. What else do I want to add? I don't know. It was all good, man. What a great experience. I appreciate everybody. I have no bad blood with anyone. I don't want anyone to really have any bad feelings about Keith and Wendy leaving, because it was all so beautiful when it went down. They're great people. I mean, Keith went through a lot out there. I'm super proud of him. He's a great kid and he's going to be a doctor one day in the light of his family's life. Like, he is that kid is, he's got a lot going on, and his spoken word poetry, look it up, is amazing and inspiring and just is heartwarming. There's so much great to, like, every person that did this season has something to be proud of, whether it's their family, whether it's something they did. Just everybody has something great about themselves, and I'm proud to be part of it, honestly.
Reem, what will we do in the future? Do you want to do a recap? Are you going to do a feedback show? Have you given any thoughts to this?
Like with you?
Yeah.
I'll do whatever you want me to do, dude. I like chatting it up with you. You're cool.
Okay. Thank you, Reem. That means the world to me. And
you're so nice.
I could listen to you talk about anything because I love the way that you look at the world. Because I talk to so many people that are sort of, you know, they don't want to say anything. And I'm not talking about the people from this cast, but just in general, everybody is very afraid. Oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing, and that you're unencumbered by that.
Well, I mean, try not to only look at negativity. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'll be honest with you. Like, there's like five people I truly need to impress. And if you're not one of them, I care, but I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. All right. Reem is, of course, on Twitter. She is at the Reem Daily. She's on Cameo, cameo.com/Reem Daily. Which is a steal to get a cameo for Reem for just $20.
Oh, please. Yo, follow my girl's band, Stone Cold Band. Woohoo!
Whose band?
Dude, my daughters are in a band, and they're pretty legit, too, to be quite honest with you. Like, they
What's it called?
Stone Cold. If you go to my Instagram, it's official Stone Cold Band. They're actually really good. And I will tell you this. There was one day they had won a battle of the bands and they were getting ready to record their first EP. And I knew the day it was going to be because I was just doing the math in my head when I was out there. Like, two major things happened when I was on the edge that were just killing me. Whether knowing or figuring out if the Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup, because
yes,
that is,
and they did.
Oh my God. But I did not know that when we left, they were going into the finals. And I'm like, Jesus, for the love of God, this is all my son and husband have wanted for years. And I'm missing it. I'm missing all of it. I don't know what's happening. And the fact that they won just brought tears to my eyes. And thank God they did video diaries at home. So I saw the authentic response when it went down, which was great. And my daughter's recording their first EP. I missed that too. And I remember the day of it because Chris and I, shocker, had gotten in an argument and we were making up. And I was saying to him, I go, Chris, I am not home with my girls today. And they are doing something that is such a big deal to them. Because, I mean, for God's sakes, they're in eighth grade now. So imagine they were like in the summer before eighth grade. Imagine being that age, doing something that cool. And, you know, it means a lot, right? And as their mom, I wanted to be there. I'm their momager. Like, what the hell? And I love all the girls in their band. Momager. So I actually am. But anyway, the point is, I was telling him, because I was trying to give him my rice, and he was like, just make this clear. You don't want this. And I'm like, dude, just take it. Be happy. Like, be glad I'm giving you the rice. I truly hope that somebody today is saying, hey, your mom's not here. Let me make sure that you have lunch while you're in the studio all day. And I know they were being taken care of, but just as a parent, just being out there and not being with your kids, knowing that they're doing something huge, like huge for them. And I wasn't there. Like, I hope someone is caring for them. So be happy that I'm sure your mom's happy that I'm offering this to you. Like, it's okay to be nice to each other. It's totally okay. You know, anyway, just throwing that out there, but yeah, follow their band. Totally.
Okay. Be sure to check that out. And Reem, I'm looking on your Twitter and I see that there's an eBay auction for a phone call with you for just 15 minutes with Reem.
Oh.
And I know it's going to be over by the time that this podcast gets posted, but it's at $260 right now.
That's the second one. So this is for Hearts of Reality, man. And, you know, I never planned on getting involved in it. I'm so glad that I am able to do something to help out. A lot of stars, I don't want to say stars, I'm not a freaking star, but a lot of people who have done shows, a lot of survivors, Big Brother, Naked and Afraid, a lot of folks from reality television apparently do this thing called Hearts of Reality. It came to my attention that, and what this money does, it's like part of Make-A-Wish. It allows a family to have an amazing time together at the whole Disney resort and to meet all these folks. And it helps pay for their trip, right? So I had, sadly, I think I've only raised $26 on the GoFundMe thing. So I'm going to repost that. But the money does go for a good thing. I found out that a dear friend of mine from high school's daughter, who had a brain tumor, and thank God she is a million times better today, but she had gone to this Hearts of Reality, and it was so inspiring for them, and it really made a difference in how she felt, and it just put a smile on her face, you know, and it gave her a great trip with her family when you're going through so much that sometimes you just need a break from what's really happening in your life, you know? So if I think it's great, if you don't want to fund my cause, then, you know, there's other people out there for the same thing. I just think it's nice. Like if everybody gave $5, we could maybe get 10 more families to go on a great trip and take their minds off of their child being sick. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. They do great work every, I think it's August is Hearts of Reality, right?
8th through 10th. Yep.
Yep. They do a great job every single year. And Reem, you did such a great job here with me today.
I'm sorry. We bounced around, dude, but I didn't want to be boring and go through every day.
The time flew by.
Well, thank you. I didn't do 3 hours like your others, but sometimes people stop listening to it too. So it's all good.
Yeah, this is a good length. Okay. Reem, thank you so much. Hope you have a great summer and can't wait to talk some more.
Thank you so much, Rob. Have fun in Hawaii, dude. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you. Take care, Reem.
Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Reem Daly. That was a lot of fun to catch up with Reem. Hope we can do some more stuff with her in the future. And she's a mainstay on Rob Has a Podcast for many years to come. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I'm having a lot of fun in these postseason interviews with the cast of The Edge of Extinction. I, of course, want to thank you, the listener, for making it all the way to the end, and especially those of you who are patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, because you keep all of this Survivor podcasting happening, because the patrons, they, in addition to everything that you hear on the main show, they get access to our Rob Has a Podcast patron community, where we get to talk about everything that's going on. Of course, access to our patron-only podcast feed, where I can take you behind the scenes of Rob Has a Podcast and get even more in-depth about everything that's happening on the shows and on the podcast and much more over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you again so much for listening. Look out for Aurora coming up later on this week and some other Survivor postseason podcasts that have nothing to do with The Edge of Extinction. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.